if a human being, any human being, has a lot of valuable, something very valuable, then consider, let's say, for example, he's got a very precious diamond. And that diamond that he has, that valuable item, he goes to, wants to go to the marketplace to sell it. To sell it. And he's afraid that on the way there are thieves, there are bandits, robbers, I could get robbed. My item could get robbed. And he knows that the route is dangerous. The pathway is dangerous. And so he's got precious item, extremely precious item, and that precious jewel, he wants to sell it, and it's very expensive, valuable, and he's aware that when I take it, and I have to go by foot, and the route is dangerous. There are thieves, there are bandits, and someone could find out that I've got something that's very valuable. So tell me, what will he do, that person? For example, it's me or you. So we will protect the item. In every way, we will try that item to save it, to protect it, to get to the destination where I can attain the value, where I can sell it and get the value for it. So he'll try his best to hide it or in some other way to take that precious item. And after going, after leaving, then he will sell it and he will attain the value, its value. So brothers, this is an example I've presented to you. And it's a great example of a reality that I presented to you so that we can understand. The fast is a very valuable thing. More than that diamond, that jewel, that wealth that a person wants to do the transaction. This is very valuable indeed. Very valuable indeed. A great asset that Allah Ta'ala has given. And that when a person goes to cash it in, who will buy it? He also is azim, great, extremely great. He who purchases the things is not minor, not insignificant. So now, in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that valuable thing is given to us in the form of the fast. And this is that gift. Imagine that item, that precious item in the morning, the man, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows this fast to him. In the form of the fast, Allah gives him this ni'mah. In the form of fast, Allah gives the treasure. Now, because he has to embark on the journey with that precious item, and in the evening he takes it and he presents it to the court of Allah. He has to present it. And when he presents it, then just like that marketplace, that item had to be sold to cash it in. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his fast, Allah ta'ala will fulfill that transaction, complete and give the value of his fast. So imagine how valuable it will be, how precious it is. So now tell me, when we have the fast, it's a valuable item, asset, then how much we are in need of protecting the fast. Why? Just like I said through this example, that person's afraid, he's fearful that somebody might loot me on the way and steal it. So all these hours, most definitely, that pass through the day, our day, this is such a great treasure. So there are enemies who want to steal this gift that we have. And they have a lot of tactics through which they loot and steal this gift. And if a person gets robbed, then he's empty-handed, he's got nothing left. Just like on the way, that man, if he gets robbed, he's got that precious jewel, and somebody steals that, robs him, then he'll have an empty bag, and what will he get for that when he gets to the end point? Nothing. So this is the case with regards to our fast, that if we have kept the fast, And at the time when the fast concludes and we have to present it in the court of Allah, we realize that he's been robbed. He's got the empty bag. Apart from hunger and thirst, there's nothing left with that person. So extremely, extremely necessary it is that we need to understand something right at the beginning, at the outset, that Allah Ta'ala has given us this gift in the form of the fast. It's a very valuable item. And don't spend it for the sake of it. Don't just consider the fast that it's about eating and keeping the fast, suhoor, and in the evening breaking the fast. It's not easy as that. Why? Because its value is extremely high. Its value, when we get it from Allah, it's extremely high value, extremely high value. And you can see when somebody has a value of a commodity, you can see that how valuable is the item, the asset that he's got. He has something that's got more value, then a person considers, oh, this is very good, very precious. And if there's less value, then he doesn't give it much attention, doesn't think it's very good. So it's the value that gives the recognition. So just look at the value of the fast to recognize that at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala bestows to that servant. Look at the value. Allah Ta'ala says, the value of the fast is so much that all the other amal deeds are separate. But the value of the fast, I myself will fulfill the and give the value. Now imagine that the fast, if we look at all of the ibadat, look at the status of fast compared to all of the other deeds. Allahu Akbar. In the court of Allah, look at the glory, the status of fasting. So how much we need to be cautious and careful with regards to the fast. Don't consider I've just eaten and in the morning and in the evening I'll break the fast and my fast is complete. Allah Ta'ala will give us that ajr. No, Allah says a person's efforts, always he should have efforts with regards to the fast, that we should protect it until the evening. Protect it so much, protect it so much. Be so cautious that in the evening when in the court of Allah, that safely and securely present that fast. As soon as you present the fast, then immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the door of Jannah for that person. He'll become Jannati, that fast will be. He'll get the ajr immediately at that time, he'll become Jannati. His sins will be forgiven, Allah will forgive them. In paradise will be announced and the palaces will be constructed. The Hur Kuzur, they will be decorated in his paradise. It's on that condition when he protected his fast. These are two hadith. This is the meaning of the hadith I'm sharing with you. And normally, regularly, we consider that, oh, it's just the end of the day, we fast, we're doing a big deed, we're not eating, we're not drinking. Obviously, I say that that is a big achievement indeed, but that's not the meaning of fasting. The person who considers that's fasting and that's it, then he's going in loss, big loss, because the big enemies of insan, the human being, from which one totally he is in with us in parallel, and the other one, the effects of which are still with us, shaitan and nafs, they always want to steal the goodness from us. So, what is it that, what spoils the fast? What destroys the fast? Now, this is very necessary for us to understand. And we need so to be saved from the negatives, protected. So, the thing that spoils the fast, let's look at that now. Let's understand that. That how do we, there's a decoration. And one, what's the decoration of fasting? Tilawat of Quran. Recitation of Quran in abundance. The more a person in the form of the fast, when he recites the Quran, reads the Quran, then in the fast is illuminated. It's decorated beautifully through the recitation of Quran. There's husn, beauty in the fast. Its value increases. That's the other words you could say. That the value of the fast increases in the court of Allah. The value goes up more. If he prays nawafil, then the value increases. If he does dhikrullah, remembers Allah, then the value increases even more. All of these things increase the value of the fast, make it more precious and valuable. And we do these actions, alhamdulillah. How lengthy tilawat and lots of zikr we do, and mashallah, we give sadaqat in the form of fast. No doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the fast till the evening. Its value to what? That the rewards Allah ta'ala has kept for us. Just from one fast, a person can get success, subhanallah. What a great, great ibadah, great fact. So Allah's karam and grace that 30 days of fast, Allah Ta'ala is going to. So what does a person not leave fasting with? Two forms. Either he'll get and attain and leave, or he'll be empty-handed and have nothing. Those people who protect the fast, they will become wealthy and rich after Ramadan with regards to the Akhirah. And they will be rich and wealthy in Jannah. And those who did not protect the fast, remember. Fast that we've decorated till evening, recite the Quran, we read the Quran, mashallah, we do dhikr adhkar, we pray nawafil, and the value of the fast increases continually. But on the other side, keep an eye on it. Keep cautious that the value of the fast decreases. Well, just like it increases, also the value of the fast decreases as well. It goes down. It can plummet. How can it plummet? How can the value of the fast decrease, go down? Reduce through sins. Through the sins. If during the fast we sin, the value will go down. The more it went up, just as when, in the same way, it will go down, it will reduce, it will decrease. It will go into minus. It can never be that you're committing a sin and the value of the fast is increasing. It cannot be. The darkness and the light cannot be there together at the same time. Either there's the light of the nur or there's the darkness of the sins that are with a person. So fasting that we are keeping, the value of the fast, if we commit a minor sin, a little bit of a sin, that's why the pious predecessors have stated, I present a statement to you of the friends of Allah, they say that during the fast, if you cannot do a lot of ibadah, if you cannot recite Quran a lot, if you can't do a lot of dhikrullah, even then don't worry. But if you prevent yourself from the sin, even then you have made a very valuable commodity, asset for yourself. He says, so keep reflecting and analyze. If you can't do, you are busy at work, business, you can't recite a lot of Quran, don't worry. Then pay attention to the other side, that don't let your fast get spoiled. The real value of the fast is spoiled when it goes downhill. Yes, doesn't matter how much you decorate the fast. But if you spoil it, deface it, then you will end it. It will go to waste. That's why the pious predecessors have stated that if you don't have the courage, determination, or the strength, that you can't do too much, then don't regret that. Don't regret that. They even say that better, afzal, greater than doing deeds, ibadat, that if you can just sleep, then keep on sleeping. Save your fast somehow so that in the evening, in the court of Allah, when you present your fast, then Allah Ta'ala will give you the message of maghfirah, forgiveness. Subhanallah. But we are so unfortunate. Misfortune is with us that we don't understand these points. And the more, for example, during fasting, the anger we get, we never get. The amount we feel of fighting during the fast, we don't feel like that when we're not fasting. That's the test Allah has given to us, that when a person has empty stomach, then he becomes a bit fussy, and he makes a lot of fuss and gets angry. And this is the test of the fast, that how much does he control himself and save his fast, protect it. Okay, so we save it. We save ourselves. Okay, we said that. So how are we saving ourselves? How are we saving the fast? Okay, it is being saved if we do the right things. Just I'm saving myself from zina, I won't do adultery, I won't do this. And we present the big sins, the list of the big sins, the apparent sins. That, for example, if I do zina, people see me. If I drink alcohol, people will see me. Isn't it? If I beat somebody, everybody will see me. If I murder somebody, everybody will see me in the world. So we save our, protect ourselves from these sins. We think we're protected from the sins, and we consider our fast is correct. Okay, that's good as well. That's what it's about. But these are apparent, visible things that you are protecting yourself. I won't do this. People will see me in the world. But this is not real protection. Or there is something more dangerous than all of this that destroys a person. And these are the batini, internal sins. Yes, the internal hidden sins. And how much do people try to protect themselves from the hidden sins, the batini sins? That's what we need to ask ourselves. How should we try? If we don't consider them as sins, then most definitely, that would we not try to protect ourselves from them? Would we not try? Would we not ask the ulama ikram, the respected scholars, that tell us that the batini sins, how can we end them? How can we stop them? How many people do amal on this and reflect and analyze and try? Very few. I can't see any. To try to prevent implementation of the batini sins. So when a person's fasting, we should try to be safe from this. The more dangerous than the apparent visible sins are the internal batini, hidden sins. Because we don't consider them as sins, so it totally we waste and destroy our fast. In the Quran, Surah Hujarat, if you read it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these sins. Allah says, La yaqtum ba'dukum ba'd. There's a verse that we need to understand. Allah ta'ala, when He explains, Allah in the Quran has explained that your brother behind his back, don't say bad about him, don't say negative about him. This is the Quran that's telling us this. That your brother behind his back, don't say something bad about him behind his back. And on top of that, Allah's explaining the punishment. It's a unique, an extreme punishment. Imagine the sin, the how big a sin it will be. That Allah says that this is common today in society. So easy to do and common. And if we see the severity of this, may not be that this sin, if we are committing in Ramadan, then Allah is Malik, Allah is the owner of our fast. Thawab is thawab, but the shoes and the punishments are ready to meet out the punishment. Allah says that don't commit the sin that your brother behind his back, in other words, when he's not there do not do bad to him. Why? Because if you do bad, then Allah Ta'ala questions. Allah says, "Wala yaghtab ba'dukum ba'da." Allah says, Would you like this? Would you prefer? This is the Quran that Allah Ta'ala is asking this question to us. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. That in this dunya you get the punishment. So what about the akhirah? What will happen in the akhirah? Allah says, that would you like this? وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدَ أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ. Allah says that neither backbite one another. Would one of you love to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Number one is this, that the flesh of a human being. And number two, on top of human being, your real brother. And on top of the real brother, the dead person's flesh. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And remember this thing. If the Quran has said something, then it's a fact. Me and you cannot see this, but backbiting after backbiting, 100% it is like this. It's happening. It occurs. So now let's see, if Allah does it, doesn't it? If Allah doesn't, if this occurs during Ramadan, and how easy it is to do this? For this, you don't need to have a veil. For example, a person doing zina, he's watching, somebody's looking at me, or he's stealing, or murdering, or drinking alcohol. People are watching, looking, we have to be cautious. But this sin is such that, alhamdulillah, that, for example, this today is the decoration of our gatherings, of majalis, of gatherings, when people of get-togethers. This is considered appreciated when this sin is committed. This is considered, oh, we don't enjoy ourselves in the gathering, we're just sat here silent. Yeah, let's talk, let's have a chat. This for us, when we meet, this is the biggest means and the way that our discussions progress. That, for example, when people get together, if they're two, they don't get enjoyment if they don't speak about the third person. I'm going to enjoy ourselves. Oh, if for example, we're in the masjid, I've left home, he's left home in the masjid. With such a simple, we don't see Makkah, Medina, Masjid, Kaaba. Where is it? That we just shake hands, we meet, start talking, and shaitan attacks, fasting, Ramadan, and that you will see this in every place. At the time of the Uruj, Makkatul Mukarramah, the fast is about to be broken, 5 minutes, 10 minutes left to iftar, and you go and see in the rows, and sit in the rows and analyze, and with ease you will see this, you will witness the sin. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? This is reality which is present. And we consider that I'm fasting, I've kept the fast in Makkah, in Medina, Janab, all day I recited Quran, I did Dhikrullah, Janab, I've looked after my sins, and hey, what's happening on the other side? The Quran says, the person who backbites, it doesn't matter which environment he's in, whichever place he's in, at which moment he does it, wherever he does it, backbiting is backbiting. Same thing. That if you, with regards to a brother, anyone else, if you speak behind his back in a negative way, Now we say that we put it into one ear and comes out the other, and we don't care about these points. Oh, leave it. This is not a sin. Mulana Saab, he's saying these things, ghibat, backbiting. Oh, should we stay hungry and thirsty? How can it be that we never speak about someone? That how can it be that our fast will not be accepted? Massive loss we are incurring in the evening when the doors of paradise should be open for us with such ease. With such ease, and Allah has given open playing field. Doesn't matter how sinful you are and dark you are, when you keep the fast, after keeping the fast, you should protect it in the evening. That fast, when you want to catch it in to get the value of that fast, Allah says, you are also included, and I will give you Jannah, paradise. Such a great way out of getting away from punishment. Allah's karam, His grace, His fadl, He's given us an open playing field. Massive opportunity, and we don't know about this when this verse was revealed. Now we, for example, me, I'm speaking, I don't have conviction, I don't care about this. Oh, somebody, oh, I'm just speaking for the sake of passing time, is a speech or a lecture, is a bayan. We don't give it seriousness. But they were the noble companions, Sahaba Ikram. They could not just let this go. Such a great verse was revealed. Where did they go? They were extremely upset. They said, what's happened here? This ajeeb sin that we have heard the punishment of the sins, we've heard about it, and Jannah and Jannah, but this is ajeeb sin that the real brother, human being, and he's deceased and consumed his flesh. They realized, they knew that this is a fact, it will happen immediately. So they were upset and scared. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is this sin, backbiting? Ghibat, what is ghibat? What is backbiting? They asked the question. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained what was ghibat. Listen, what is backbiting? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, backbiting is this, that you behind the back, when that person is not present, when that individual is not present, that you say something about that person behind his back, that if you were to say it when he was present in his face, then he would dislike it. That's backbiting. For example, that person, you know, he's weird. I've backbited about that person. Behind his back, if he's not present, I say, oh, you know, he's weird. Oh, leave him, you know. He's this and he's that. Backbiting. This is backbiting. Does this happen or not? Tell me, amongst us. This is a very common topic amongst us when we're sitting or with other people. We talk about a third person behind his back. And if he's not there and behind his back, you say something which if he was there, he would dislike it. That's backbiting. Then the Sahaba Ikram said, Ya Rasulullah, if that point that we say is present, it is reality, we're saying something that is truthful. We say that, isn't it? Oh no, he's like that, that's why I'm saying it. That I'm not saying anything wrong. He is like that. This is a fact. Then the Prophet explained that if that is backbiting, if that is truth that's present within him and you're speaking behind his back about him, regards to him, that's backbiting. If that thing that you're saying is not truth, and you're saying that, then that's bautan, that's slander, that's beyond that, that's double, that's worse. So here it's clearly been defined, explained to us, that don't think that if you're speaking somebody about somebody behind his back, that defect is within him. So I can say, if that defect is factual, and despite that you speak behind his back, that's defined as ghibat, backbiting. And if you backbite him, the punishment has been explained, you're in that position that you have consumed the flesh of your real deceased brother. So where's the fast gone, brothers? Where's the fast gone? Tell me. Where's the fast gone? The fast is gone. It's gone down. It's disappeared. And we have spoilt it. We've lost out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sunnat ilahi is such that when a sin becomes common, then Allah Ta'ala, to show that people don't understand what I've said, that is a fact, and their brains don't accept it, absorb it, then sometimes Allah demonstrates that punishment. That here, this is the fact. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, two women, they felt hungry. This is a very famous hadith. They felt extremely hungry during the fast, so extremely hungry that their example came to the Prophet ﷺ that they're about to die. They're very severe, they're severely hungry, they're struggling. So the Prophet ﷺ said, bring them, call them. The meaning of the hadith I'm sharing with you. So the Prophet ﷺ said that, vomit both of you into this vessel. And both, what did they do? They put their fingers down their throat. Yes, do you understand? They put their fingers down their throat and they vomited. And due to the vomit, the pieces of flesh came out of their mouths. Came out of their stomach and out of their mouth through the throat. Yes, they vomited out pieces of flesh. meat. And the Prophet ﷺ said, did you eat meat? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we didn't eat meat. So where did this meat come from? This is that, you didn't eat the meat, but the meat's coming out. So did you backbite? Did you backbite against somebody? They said, yes, we committed backbiting. So backbited, you didn't consume the flesh, but you ate it. Whose flesh did you eat? Your deceased brother's flesh. Yes, and that flesh had gone into your stomach. That meat was present. So brothers, what a big sin this is. Have we ever thought the fast when we make niyyah, the Allah, the first and foremost we need your help and assistance, that this sin of backbiting, Allah, what a sin this is. Allah, protect us from the sin during the fast. And that's when the fast is made. The fast isn't just that we stop eating and drinking. The definition of fast is this, that we save ourselves from disobedience. That's how Allah Ta'ala becomes happy. So we protect ourselves from the sins. That action that causes Allah's displeasure, we have to protect ourselves from those sins. In reality, that's what we need to leave. So in every way or form, in every second, there's an opportunity to sin. And the punishment for backbiting is there. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was such an oppressor, zalim king, that he killed so many people. Dhulam, he was a zalim king. In the history, he was the zalim badshah, zalim king. Abdullah bin Umar, radiyallahu anhu, it was his majlis, and some person spoke bad about him. Obviously, he was a zalim, he was an oppressor. He was bad. Somebody spoke bad about him, negative. And immediately Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu stated that you said bad about him. Most definitely he was bad. And he did kill, murder. But do you consider that when you've said bad about him and you've done backbiting, then listen, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the justice and take the hisab of his murder and his dhulam, then there Allah will also take the hisab and accounting from you that you backbited against him. So that's a big zalim and oppressor to speak about him. It is not correct. So tell me, we commonly speak about people, common folk, in a negative way. What a big zulm, oppression, such a big in our life. Then if we don't get this great ibadah again in life, we don't know. So make yaqeen, total certainty that the sin will come in. The punishment is there. It will occur. It will be given. And backbiting, a sin, in every way of whether it's Ramadan or not Ramadan, whether you're fasting or not fasting, you must shun it. It's such a big sin, such a big sin, that the other sins are such that Allah Ta'ala says, if you do tawbah, I'll forgive those sins. Allah says, tawbah, repentance. After tawbah, every sin is forgiven. But ghibat, backbiting, is such that even after tawbah, asking for forgiveness, Allah says, I will not forgive it after you do tawbah. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, even after doing tawbah, I will not forgive this sin of backbiting. It's such a big sin. Ashaddu min al-qatl, that after zina, it's worse than zina. The zina is forgiven via tawbah, but this sin, Allah Ta'ala says, I won't forgive you until that person won't forgive you who you backbited against. So tell me, what a big punishment. Explain to me. Tell me from Allah, either there's Jahannam, or that person you backbited against, that you go to his door and arrive there and beg him, and look at disrespect, dishonor, that your friend, you go to his door and you knock on his door and say, Yar, my friend, I said this against you. Say, me? Why did you say this to me? Against me? How you'll be ashamed, melting your shame, such a big punishment if you don't do this. Allah says, then the punishment in the Akhirah, in Jahannam, you will feel it. I told you in the dunya that you consume the flesh of your real brother. So my brothers, Ramadan, Allah has given us a great ni'mah, a great treasure, a blessing, that today, that this fast when we start, and we, if we save ourselves from this, prevent ourselves from this lanat, this cursing, then the rest of our life will pass in a beautiful way, tell me, won't it? That if we keep this delusion, deception, that I've kept the fast and I can carry on backbiting, no, nothing's going to spoil me, my fast, if I do that. I've kept 30 fasts and I've done backbiting, nothing's happened to me, I'm fine. I've kept the fast, I've recited Quran, nothing happened to me, I'm okay. But those people who have yaqeen and belief in the Quran and the words of Allah, they have yaqeen, then he's gone. He's gone. After fasting, he goes. And the biggest problem for that person, that he hasn't even corrected himself in Ramadan. Even after Ramadan, he came out in with backbiting as a practice, that he's wasted the opportunity of Ramadan and he did not shun this sin. May Allah forgive. May Allah forgive. So we should save ourselves from backbiting. It's an extremely bad sin. The way to save ourselves from this sin is what? Look, there's a way of saving ourselves, protecting ourselves from sins. There's a source. That why does a person get a cold? Due to cold weather. So he protects himself from the cold weather. How do I get the flu? Due to cold weather. So how do I get saved from this sickness? How do I save myself from corona? How do I prevent corona? First, obviously the sickness comes, then there are precautionary tactics or measures that you have to take, isn't it? That for example, if you don't want to, don't go towards the dustbin, don't drink the cold water, if you want to protect yourself from disease, so there are precautionary measures that you have to adopt. Allah Ta'ala gives hukum himself. That for example, this thing that we're wearing, the mask, etc., Allah says it's lazim, you have to follow the measures. Yes? That you don't have to look into the who's and the why's, whether it's there or not, you have no link to this. It's not necessary that if you don't drink cold water, you won't get the cold or the flu. Maybe some other way you'll get it. But a person becomes so brave, I have no need for precautionary measures, I don't need to protect myself or save myself, then this is a destruction in front of Allah. You are challenging Allah. Nothing else. Yes, you are challenging Allah. So we have to utilize the means, the resources, the ways, the methods, that way that disease is coming, that sickness is coming, I need to prevent it. I have to use the measures. Yes? Caution. So what we need to see, backbiting is a batini sickness, internal disease. To protect ourselves from backbiting, what tools should we use? What resources should we use? Which means should we use? If in normal days I don't, but at least in Ramadan, my brothers, we'll have to do this. We'll have to adopt the measures. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That this, during Ramadan, if we don't do this, I swear by Allah that there's no bigger loser than this who during Ramadan, that during Ramadan, that the beauty of the fast, he kept on decorating his fast with ibadat, but he didn't think that due to my sins, I'm destroying my fast as well. As I explained to you, that such sins have become common, that's why Allah Ta'ala demonstrates that people don't consider this as a sin. Rather, as I explained to you, this majlis, we consider it as the decoration of a get-together that talk about him, talk more about people, gossip. So the way, the method to prevent this sin, especially in Ramadan, if we do it, then we'll become habitual, used to it. Number one, to stop backbiting. Number one, to save yourself from backbiting, the biggest way, the method. That how does a person backbite? Can you backbite in isolation? On your own about somebody? Can you backbite to the wall? To your hands? No. You'll backbite when you meet somebody. So first thing we need to do in Ramadan is that the biggest effort we should make is that decrease the meetings. Don't meet anybody at all. What's the harm? Yes, there's no harm if we don't meet anybody during Ramadan. Why should we meet? To as far as possible, as much as possible, try that I don't meet anybody at all. And this will happen that time when a person, when he doesn't show himself as brave and big shot, consider that I am weak, I am very weak, I'm not a big person, I'm not pious, I can be grabbed, I could be caught in this sin, I'm very weak. So the best way for me is that during Ramadan I don't meet anybody, I don't even shake hands. Don't even go up to anybody. As least as possible, I meet everyone when there's majalis gatherings, get-togethers in our countries, that there's iftari parties, get-togethers, come to us, let's break the fast. And the time of iftar, that's when this sin occurs. The reward is being given out, distributed, and that's when the people are going to commit the sin. People are going to get together, gather together, assemble, commit the sin. So the first step, number one, where does this sin emanate from? Through meetings, mulaqat, meeting each other. Sitting down, getting together, even here in the home, try. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why in the final akhri ashara, in the final ashara, to protect us, to protect this fast, I'm giving you an ideology, a meaning, a thought I'm sharing with you, that the ashara, as Allah has given the phases, the 10 days, Allah's grace and mercy to save our sin, to save our fast. This is the one to protect your fast totally. Allah ta'ala gives us then itikaf in the last 10 days. This is what I understand. To save the fast Allah Ta'ala has given us, Allah Ta'ala loves us so much. That society, Allah Ta'ala wants to extract this sin from the society. That he's not saving himself, not protecting himself, he's spoiling his fast. So at least in the 10 days, let him sit in the corner. That, for example, for this reason, he's doing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've told you before this point, that when there's a khas, unique, select action, Allah says, I give you a special ibadah then. Worship, remember this point. That moment, that phase of the day that Allah holds dear and beloved, Allah gives a special ibadah time. For example, at the time of Fajr, beloved time for Allah, Allah gives Fajr Salah. Zuhr time, the Zuhr Salah is beloved to Allah, Allah gives Zuhr Salah. These 5 times Allah liked, he didn't leave them empty with voids. Allah put his sujood in those times of the day. We don't know why Allah Ta'ala likes this time, for which reason, but this is Allah's selection. Zuhr time, you can't pray Zuhr now, because at that time Allah Ta'ala pushed in the time of Zuhr. Allah wanted to give something, bestow something to seven. So Allah says, I'll give you ibadah at that time, so that you come to me, submit to me. You don't know the beat of the time. Obviously you're going to do dua, my Rabb, I'm watching him, looking at him, that this is the barakat time. At that time there was a pious elder, and I used to go to him in Karachi. And I used to witness something when I go there. That Zuhr time, Ajib Noor, he had that time on him. And he passed away at that time as well. Zuhr time. And I was surprised, amazed, the great Wali of Allah, he lived in a certain place, and my habit was once in the day, that he used to invite me himself, Naqshbandi Sheikh, great Sheikh. And Naqshbandi, the amount of kitabs have been published, through his writings they have come, through his publishing. Big, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, the kitabs, the tafsir that he wrote, great alim he was, scholar. No one could compare Arabi, Farsi, language, and there was a straw mat on the ground. And he said, focus, come, will you have tea? And once I was so enjoying, Ashik of Rasulullah, he said to me, that today I feel like that I give you the dates of Medina. I remember this day. I thought, Subhanallah, Hazrat, what a great, great gift. He said, just wait. I've protected them. It's been quite a bit of time, he said to me. And you know, the mud hut he's living, the dates, if you keep them, obviously, then the ants will come, the insects will come, they will attach themselves. So when he went, then those dates, he was looking, and Medina dates, he said, I've kept them, I'll feed them to you. When he brought them those dates, there were ants all around. Oh, he said, where'd they come? He's blowing them, and he's cleaning them, and they'd consumed them, they said, please eat them, but they were Medina dates, and he ate them with enjoyment. Subhanallah. So what was I saying to you about him? It's come out of my mind. The friend of Allah he was. And an example I was about to give to you at that time. My mind's gone somewhere else. Anyway, yes, I was saying there was the final ashra, the last 10 days of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's given us for this ibadah. That save, he can be saved, my insan, my servant. Somehow I need to protect him, seat him in the corner. And in the corner, as I was saying, that every moment Allah Ta'ala has given an ibadah, that time Allah Ta'ala, he elevates that time with an ibadah. As I was saying, that the morning and the evening, close to Allah, it's very beloved time for Allah, very beloved time in the Quran. Many places Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the morning and the evening. This tafsir, if I explain to you the morning, scientifically I will tell you, the science has proven that the morning time, the amount more that the things you get and the treasures, for the taqwa, for the health of a person, that you cannot get in any other part of the day, time of the day. And this is what Islam says. So close to Allah, these 2 times are very beloved, so dear, so precious, that in the Quran, many places Allah Ta'ala has portioned, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkuru la dhikran kathira wa sabbihu bukratan wa asila. Subhanallah. So these 2 times, Allah Ta'ala especially unique ibadah is given, which is that dhikrullah, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. So what we realize is that ibadah of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's a portion. So close to Allah, these 2 times are very valuable. And if we want to attain this, then at that time, we have to do it via the ibadah of that time. Just like Fajr time, you want to attain the glory of Fajr time, then pray Fajr Salah at that time. Dhuhr time, if you want to get the glory, that feeling, the emotion. Zuhr time, I was saying to you in his life, that he had noor in his life. He had noor at the time of Zuhr. So I asked him once, I said, Hazrat, that the rest of the time I come, evening, I sit with you, we sit down. But this time is ajeeb feeling that I feel the fares from you, the blessings, Zuhr time. Why? And then he smiled. and his tafsir of Quran. He wrote a dictionary of tafsir of the Quran. So I'm introducing him to you. Great person, he was great human being. So he said to me, the Hazrat, what can I say to you? I said, please explain to me, what is it? He said, this time of Dhuhr is so nurani, illuminated, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, total all the doors of Jannah open at that time. And Allah's rahmah, mercy is descending at that time, Zuhr time. And at times such angels descend on the human beings. And that person is special ibadah that Allah Ta'ala is a portion for that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows that nur to that person. If you're consumed with that ibadah at that time. And Allah has put a special unique. Allah Ta'ala has opened that secret to me and I attained that nur at that time. Allah has unraveled that secret to me. Opened that secret to me. And I attained that nur at that time. And he passed away at that time as well. He said, that's why I'm saying to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the third ashra, the final 10 days of Ramadan, we don't think it's important, we just take our bedding and we sit in the masjid. But this special ibadah Allah ta'ala has kept, in the final 10 days of Ramadan, which is the ruh, the soul of fasting. What's that? Silence, say subhanallah. Isolation. Apart from that, there's no ibadah. That the rest do what you have to do. Is this the case? It's the case. There's a special ibadah Allah will keep that. Pray this much nafil, do this action. Nothing at all, Allah said in itikaf. Allah's given a corner. You seclude yourself, isolation. Big ibadah. Leave the dunya, leave the world, come into the corner, and adopt silence, total silence. Stick to that. For this reason, it's for your benefit that you will not speak, and you won't backbite, and your fast will not be spoiled. It's so valuable an action I'm giving to you that the 30 days I had to give to you, and I give to you in the final 10 days, and I'll complete your fast. Subhanallah. This is called itikaf. This is the definition of itikaf, my brothers. So this is what I was requesting to you, that the biggest value of fast is what? The protection of the fast. And if today, when we keep the fast tomorrow from the morning, let's do dua to Allah. Rather, take a pen and paper. And I'm fasting, I promise to you that I'm not going to stop, I'm not going to eat and drink, I'm not going to meet anybody, I'm not going to speak. If it's essential, important, then I'll close my mouth, I'll say silent, I'll say salam. I won't say anything second, third, with his wife, children, home, outside, relatives, telephone. I will stop listening to it, using it. If you want to protect your fast, I tell you this now. Yes, even if you want to, for example, speak to somebody, if you imitate somebody, this backbite, I give you a big example, as Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha, great example. May Allah be pleased with her. You'll see what a great example this is. Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha, in the hadith is stated. So, riwayah is daif, but it's present. It's present. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa spoke about another woman, not from her tongue, by ashad, just from the hint that, oh, she's short in height. She just hinted. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this immediately and said, Aisha, what's this you've said? What's this you've done? What's this you've done? Ya Rasulullah, Rasulullah said, you have backbited against her. So you've done backbiting. So now tell me, that the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can we be saved? Will we be saved? That we need to adopt the means, the phoning, chatting on the phone, meeting people in the house, be cautious, be careful and wait. The 10 days that are about to come, until those 10 days that we will be in prison. So before that we should protect ourselves, I say this, forget those 10 days. From the first fast, consider you are mutakif, a person who's in itikaf. The person who's from the first fast is not considered a mutakif, he can never succeed. So take this seriously, what I'm saying, brothers. This is a very valuable time and phase of life in the form of Ramadan. Allah has given this to us. This is not some minor time. Ask those who have departed from this world. And they will only get who will protect. So speaking unnecessarily, phoning somebody, talking to somebody, gossiping, and you leave the masjid. And we leave with difficulty from the masjid. We'll stand at the doorway, speaking about here, there, on the roadway, on the streets. We'll grab him, how are you, what's happening, kya hala? How will we not backbite? Because this is when the insan's nafs is against him, and he wants to destroy his fast. And in the house, be cautious, don't speak to anybody at home. And isolate yourself. And if Allah gives you the tawfiq of dhikr, always do dhikr al-qalbi, the dhikr of the heart. Continue to do it. Continue to do it. And the dhikr will be beneficial. So will we do this, brothers? Inshallah, yes. So we need to do this. I'll do this. Otherwise, 10 days have passed. 10 days have passed, we can't compensate for it, but the next 20 days that are to remain, one Ashura has gone to remain. Well, let's forgive to Allah. Let's ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah, ask Allah to forgive us, because we have to ask that, oh, this person, his tawbah is very difficult, his situation is very difficult. So best solution is we protect ourselves, and the tariqah to protect ourselves is that meet as less people as possible and close off all the resources, the means of communication, and put the padlock on your tongue and consider yourself as a mu'takif in the house, stay in isolation, seclusion, recite, just go to sleep, just keep sleeping, sleep if you have to. That's ibadah as well. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyid al-mursaleen. Shafi al-muslimin. Tuha wa yasin al-habib al-ameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa ala muhammadin. Nabiyil ammi yazwaji wa mahatim umidin. Wa zuriyatihi bi ahli baytihi kama sallaita wa ala ibrahim wa ala ibrahim wa inna kamidu majid. Sallim tasliman da'iman abadan kaseeran kaseeran. Ya Allah, tu apne fazl o karam se hamare gunahon ko maaf farma de. Ya Allah, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma de. Ya Allah, ye Ramzan hamare liye behtareen Ramzan bana de. Ya Allah, salamati wala Ramzan bana de. Ya Allah, salamati se Ramzan guzarne ki taufeeq naseeb farma de. Ya Allah, hamare saghira aur kabira gunahon ko maaf farma de. Ya Allah, hamein Ramzan ki hifazat karne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Ya Allah, roze ki hifazat karne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Har batni zahiri gunahon se hamari hifazat farma mere maula. Ya Allah, hamare tilawat Quran naseeb farma, kasrat tilawat Quran ata farma, kasrat zikr naseeb farma. Ya Allah, raat ko jagna naseeb farma, tilawat naseeb farma mere maula, nawafil naseeb farma mere maula. Ya Allah, jo humse kotahi galti ho gayi mere maula, to apne fazl se hame maafi farma mere maula. Ya Allah, teri itni badi ibadat ka, teri itne bade din ka, teri itne bade mahine ka hum kya haq ada kar sakte hain mere maula. بس تو اپنے رحم سے کرم سے فضل سے میرے مولا تو ہوں ان کو قبول فرما لے میرے مولا یا اللہ قبول فرما لے میرا خیر و عافیت سے ہمارا مہینہ پورا فرما دے میرے مولا ٹوٹی پھوٹی جو بھی عبادت کرنا ہے میرے مولا ہم میں طاقت نہیں تو طاقت عطا فرما دے ہماری کمزوری کو طاقت میں تبدیل فرما دے یا اللہ ہر بیماری سے مصیبت سے پریشانی سے بلاؤں سے میرے مولا تو ہماری حفاظت فرما ہمارے گھر والوں کی حفاظت فرما ہمارے جاننے والوں کی حفاظت فرما پوری بستی کی حفاظت فرما یہ میرے مولا اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے میرے مولا ہماری آج کی ذکر کی مجلس کو قبول فرما اور جو بھی تو نے انعامات اس مجلس پہ رکھے ہیں میرے مولا تو ہمیں عطا فرما دے یا کریم ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزۃ عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین آمین.